I'd like to say good evening to everybody. Just good to be in the house of prayer. Just one more time, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Certainly good to be here. It's a little bit warmer this week. I know we're going to encounter some bad weather, but I thank God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. We made it. Amen. We made it. It was a rough week last week, but thank God for Jesus. Amen. The weather changed. Thank God for Alabama. Amen. Amen. Good to see your smiling faces tonight. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight, dear God, and we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just want to thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this Bible study lesson. And we ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you enable us to pull our points so we can apply it to our everyday life, dear Heavenly Father. We ask, dear God, that you reduce me, dear Heavenly Father, so that you can use me, dear Heavenly Father, for your purpose, dear Heavenly Father. Clear my mind where I can think right, dear God. And when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, the glory, and all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray and do thank you. Amen. Amen. We want to thank Deacon McClain for opening us up in devotion tonight. To our deacons, our members, to our pastor in his absence, First Lady Rogers, and lastly to my wife. We've had it all joy just to be able to just bring you the Word of God tonight. I thank God for it. I don't take any invitation lightly, and I thank God for the opportunity. Pastor could have got anybody to do it, but I just thank God for Jesus. Amen. Tonight, we're going to call your attention to the book of Psalms, and we're going to be looking at chapter Psalm 1, just verses 1 through 3. That's the book of Psalms, just Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3. And when you have it, say amen. And it reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Tonight, we want to talk about the way of the righteous. The way of the righteous. This psalm describes the blessed man who leads an untarnished and prosperous life in accord with the word of God, and contrasts him with the ungodly who shall perish. This psalm may be classified as a wisdom psalm because of its emphasis on these two ways of life, the use of similes, the announcement of blessings, and the centrality of the law of fulfillment in life. This psalm summarizes the two ways open to mankind, the way of righteousness and the way of the wicked. This psalm seems to present a choice that every person has to make for themselves. There is a fork in the road of life. One route is the way of the righteous, which leads to blessings. The other is the path of sinners, and it ends in destruction. The prerequisites for experiencing a blessed life is described in the first three verses of the Psalms. We want to just deal with the way of the righteous tonight. When you look at verse 1, it says that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. When you look at the Hebrew word for man, in this context, it means person, which has without reference to any specific gender, which means it refers to male or female. What we are talking about here, in the original Hebrew, the word translated counsel is a noun meaning something that provides direction or advice as to a decision or a course of action. The ungodly are wicked people, sinners, and those characterized by godlessness. To not walk in the counsel of the ungodly means to reject any advice from the wicked, and includes avoiding any guiding influence that might shape or direct one's way of life toward godliness. Walking involves progress, but the Word of God says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So we as children of God should recognize and realize that we have to receive our advice from a godly source. When we got called out of darkness into God's marvelous light, we have to understand that our source of instruction has to come from the Lord. The church right now is going astray. The devil is pulling us out one by one at a time because we are getting advice from ungodly sources. When we start following the ungodly man and start following the advice of our friends, our family, those who don't even know who Jesus is, we got to understand that that counsel is not what the Lord intended for the children of God. When you look at our young generation that's coming up behind us, you know, we had some issues when we were younger, but they got greater issues than we do right now. They don't want to follow any instruction from the Lord. So we as children of God have to receive our instruction from the Lord. When we give our life to Him, we can't follow the devil any longer. We got to just leave that lifestyle alone. And so sometimes we got to understand that the way of the righteous is different than the way of the ungodly. Sometimes you just wish that some of our young generation could just get the big picture and they can understand that some of the advice that they receive is not from the Lord. So when you're talking about following the counsel of the ungodly, the advice might seem good to them, and it might work for them, but God's children are instructed to live different than the world, and what may work for them may or may not necessarily work for us. See, we can't go out and just do everything up under the sun and still expect the Lord to bless us. We can't just live any kind of way and expect God to just shower down His blessings for us. So we got to understand, when you really look at how God operates, He don't operate so that we can have any kind of instruction coming from any kind of way. So if we're going to be followers of Jesus, then we need to follow His instruction, which is the Word of God. Our folks today don't want to read. They don't want to study. They don't want to spend time in church, spend time in worship. They don't want to be up under a man of God because they don't want to be led in the right direction. They say they love Jesus, but yet and still, according to the way they live, their lifestyle shows different. So we got to understand that if we're going to live blessed lives, we need to follow the instruction of the Lord. That's what God requires of us. We got to follow His instruction. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So He wants us to understand that we can't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We got to learn how to receive sound advice from Christian people. We might not have everything. We might not be living rich like everybody else. We might not have 10, 12 cars, but we got wisdom from God. And when you learn how to follow the instruction of Him, they'll learn how to live godly lifestyles. He said that not only should we not follow the counsel of the ungodly, he said that we should not stand in the way of sinners. When you look at this right here, standing in the way of sinners presents the ideal that we are standing with them and hanging out with them in ungodly places. You can't carry yourself everywhere saying that you are a child of God. I don't care what your co-workers do. I don't care what your cousins do. I don't care what folks over there do. You can't go everywhere and say that you are a child of God. We got to understand that we can't stand in the way of sinners. We can't do the same thing that they do. We can't see the same thing that they see. God tried to shield his children from looking at certain things. He don't want us to see everything. He don't want us to be exposed to everything. What he wants to be exposed to is the word of God. We should never feel comfortable hanging out with ungodly people and congregating in ungodly places. If you feel comfortable being in a place of ungodliness, then we need to check our relationship with the Lord. Don't nobody have to tell you. Don't nobody have to remind you. If you got a relationship with the Lord and you got the Holy Spirit on your side, you should feel uncomfortable in some areas where you go. Folks want to be at the club. People want to do everything up under the sun. We got to be different than the world. So we got to understand that we can't congregate everywhere that everybody else congregate at because we are children of God. So God expects us to live our life differently, and he expects us to carry ourselves so that people would know that we are children of God. Listen, I know that they are our friends, they are family, they are co-workers, our acquaintances. But the Bible says we should refrain from standing in the way of the sinner man. Paul warned in the book of Corinthians, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. We want to know why our children are wayward. We want to know why our children don't want to come to the house of prayer. We want to know why our children shun away, don't want to talk to us, don't want to call you on the phone, because they hang around bad company. So it corrupts good habits with the Lord. If we say that we live for him, then we don't want to hang out with ungodly folks. So we got to understand how the principles of God operate in our life. We got to understand we cannot do the same thing that other folks do. We allow bad company to drag us anywhere and to do everything, and we see everything under the sun. Our focus is to be light to them. The Word of God says, let our light so shine. He says that our light needs to shine so they might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Problem of it is right now, we letting the world lead us. We go hang out in places with people. We listen to their advice. We start following, doing the same thing that they do. We got to understand we're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be the guide. We're supposed to be the head. They're supposed to be the tail. We're supposed to be leading them. And some people want to cover it up and say, well, you know, Jesus hung out with the publicans and sinners. Yeah, he hung out with them, but he was teaching them at the same time. We got too many folks want to hang out with ungodly people, but they teaching you instead of you teaching them. I mean, I ain't never seen folks in our day and time where we've been led by ungodly folks. I mean, we even got churches gone crazy. People want to turn churches to discos. You know, the church when they're talking about on New Year's Eve, they were just having them a good old time. And a girl put on Facebook, she says, you know, I've been going to the club every year. I've been partying hard, and I have decided to change my life. And so what I said was, I want to come to church tonight. I want to get Jesus in me, and I come to church, and they acting just like the club. We ought not hang out in the way of sinners. I don't care what the world doing. If we got to do everything up under the sun to get them in here, then they don't need to come. Listen, we got to understand the way of the righteous is different than the world. We can't live like those folks. And so we can't be dragged everywhere doing everything up under the sun. Because what we do is we start getting it in our spirit and we start want to act and do the same thing that they do. God called us to influence the world and not for the world to influence us. We should be leading them to the house of God instead of them dragging us everywhere. Listen, I know that sometimes we grew up with folks. Sometimes people go to class reunions. They go to family reunions. They go on cruises. They go all out of town. It don't matter where you go. Jesus is everywhere at the same time. God can see you nowhere, no matter where you go. God still expects us to carry ourselves as children of God. We still got to be light. Listen, I know folks going to get mad at you because they're going to say, well, you know, you grew up with us doing this kind of thing. Yeah, but now I gave my life to Christ. I'm different. God expects us to live different. I don't care what nobody say. So we got to understand that we got to do what's right in the eyesight of the Lord. That's why he said, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of the sinners. We got to understand that we got to have a different outlook on life than what other folks do. He said, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. That's Marcus. Listen, if we haven't noticed the parallelism in this verse speaks of an increasing deeper involvement with wickedness. First, we walk beside the ungodly. Second, we stand with the sinners. And then third, we sit beside the scornful. The apparent progression presents a picture of someone walking next to sin, then stopping to stand while taking it all in, and then finally sitting down in the sin seat with the scornful to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of it all. That's exactly what happens. See, we got to understand that the devil have a plan. And what his plan is to draw you out of the house of God. He don't want you up under the man of God. He don't want you hearing the word of God. He's not going to come to you and just bring you out all at one point in time. First, you're going to start receiving counsel from the ungodly folks. Then you're going to start hanging out with them at the club. Then you're going to start hanging out with them so much, you're going to start sitting with them, and you're going to start mocking the church of God. That's why folks think it's all right to crack jokes on the Lord. They think it's all right to mock children of God. You know, they think it's funny for us to go out and buy clothes, come in here, lock up and worship the Lord. They think there's something wrong with us. I know there's something wrong with them. So we got to understand, we can't sit in the seat of the scornful. We got folks that make fun of the church all day long, and we think it's funny to sit around with them. If you got a relationship with the Lord, it ought to make you uncomfortable to be around somebody talking about the children of God. We got to understand that we as people of God, we cannot enjoy the same pleasures that they do. People who walk in the counsel of the ungodly listen to worldly advice. They make plans with the wicked and willfully participate in the sinner's way of life. That's how the devil wants us to do it. This signifies a progression from a casual influence of ungodly people to a collusion with them in their scorn against the righteous. Listen, the devil's objective is to bring down the children of God. He can't get at the Lord, so he want to mess with his children. That's the same way it is with us here in the world. Listen, when you give your life to Christ and you start following God, when you really get devoted to him, if he can't mess with you, he'll start messing with your children. If he can't get you, he'll start messing with your husband. He'll start messing with your wife. He'll try to get anybody that's close to you to bring you down that he can. And the problem of it is we got to continue on in Jesus' name. We as children of God got to do things different. And so we got to carry ourselves so that they'll know that we are children of God. Listen, we got to be light in the world. I don't care what nobody say. We got to be light to them. Don't bend, don't break, don't change for what other folks do. Don't change for your children. Do what the Lord says that you need to do. So many folks try to be friends with their children. They want to be buddies with them just so they can bring them in. No, you got to be a light to your children. No matter what go on, you still follow the word of God. Every time you get a chance, you get a word of God to them. We don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Instead, God transforms us by changing how we think. Our whole thinking process is different than the world. Like I said, they think that it's funny that we invest time to come to church. And when you try to follow ungodly advice, these same folks that's trying to tell you things about how they're making it and the things that they're doing, a lot of that stuff ain't even right. God wants to bless his children. And the only way he can bless us is if we continue to follow his lead. Christians cannot expect to make a forward progress in the Lord if we seek counsel from sinners or make plans with unbelievers. Listen, every year that God allows us to see, we ought to want to be different. Every year that we say that we are children of God, we ought to want to make a change in our life. Something that we were doing last year, we ought to drop it off and say we ain't doing it this year. Every year, something about you should be changed for the better. If you're not changing for the better, you need to figure out who you hanging around, who your folks is. What they doing to you, got to make changes for the better. It's all about what we are doing for the Lord and what the Lord is doing for us in our life. God wants to lead us. He wants to guide us, but he can only do it if we allow him to do it. When you look at this first verse right here, it's telling us all this stuff that we need to refrain from. So, how do we stay focused? How, as children of God, do we stay focused? How do we change our lives and become better as men and women of God? In verse 2 right here, it says that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Listen, there's some work that's required on our part. He says a godly person is influenced not by unrighteous people, but by our meditation on the word of God. Listen, that requires work on our part. God cannot come down here and make us meditate. He can't make us steady. He's not going to grab your hand and drag you to church, to worship service. It requires some work on our part. If we want to live blessed lives, if we want to see a change in our community, we want to see a change in our families, change in how what we're going, and we want to make forward progress, then we got to be influenced by the word of God. And the only way you're going to be influenced by the word of God, you got to know what the word of God says. If you don't study scripture, you can't meditate on scripture. If you don't follow a pastor, a man of God, there's no way you can meditate on the word of God. Listen, when you put all kind of stuff in your spirit, when you listen to all kind of ungodly music, when you watching all kind of crazy stuff on TV, you got to understand, that stuff, it wreaks havoc in your spirit. You cannot meditate on the word of God when you're reading love novels. when you're on Facebook all the time, when you're on all kind of social media outlets. See, we think that this right here is not deep. This is why our children don't want no Jesus. Because they spend too much time on Facebook, on social media, Instagram, Snapchat, everything but the Word of God. How are we going to stay focused if we don't know who Jesus is? When we give our life to Him, we got to learn. We are followers of Him. We are learners of Him. So we ought to want to dig in deep to learn more about our personal Lord and Savior. So the contrast is strong. Instead of finding enjoyment in entanglements with wicked persons, the godly person finds his or her deep enjoyment in the things of God, particularly the Word of God. Listen, when you start studying the Word of God and you start meditating on the Word of God, you know, you don't nobody have to find you at Sunday school. Anybody got to look for you at worship service. Nobody got to find you at prayer meeting, and nobody got to find you at Bible study, because you so ready to serve the Lord that you waiting for the doors to open up. That's why our churches, the membership is declining everywhere. I mean, all the churches are complaining about the same thing, because people are leaving the things of God and finding enjoyment in everything but the Word of God. We got to go back to meditating. We got to go back to studying. We got to go back to reading the Word of God. The only way we're going to be focused is we got to study to show ourselves approved unto Him. So we as children of God have to study the Word of God. As we read the Scriptures daily and study them, we'll memorize them and meditate on them night and day, our thinking change. And such meditation necessarily involves study and retention. So in other words, you want to retain the Word of God, because there are some times that we're going to get attacked by the devil. You ain't going to have your Bible in your hand. I'm going to tell you right now, you know, you're going to get attacked by God at work. You ain't got time to stop and get no prayer in. See, you ain't going to have time for all that stuff like that. You got to have that stuff as prerequisites. See, that's what you got to do. You got to pray before you leave the house. You got to pray at night. You got to study the Word of God. You got to meditate on it. So, hey, when the enemy comes, because he's coming now, you got something to defeat the enemy with, because you got it already in your spirit. You can't defeat the enemy when you ain't got nothing in you now. And you know how he is. See, he'll bring the Word of God to you. He'll change up the Word. And if you don't know what it says, you'll be confused yourself. Hey, that's why folks scared to open up the door when the Jehovah's Witnesses come around. Hey, I know we got some folks in here like that. They scared to talk to the Church of the Latter-day Saints. See, hey, they scared to talk to the Muslims, because they don't know what to say. But when you know what the Scripture says, and when you have studied and you have meditated on the Word of God, they can't take nothing from you, because you know what to say. And God said that He's going to give you an answer at the time, so they'll know where the Word of God comes from. We got to stay focused. We got to stay focused on the Word of God. So such a person will grow in faith and spiritual maturity. We all ought to want to be mature Christians in the Word of God. We all not want us to continue to be babes for the rest of our lives. You know, let me tell you something. I just think it's just going to be a shame to just stand before the Lord and you still a babe in Christ. You gave your life to Christ 30 years ago, and you don't yet can't quote nothing out of Scripture. And when you stand before your Lord and Savior, what you going to say? Because, you know, we're going to have to give an account one day. It's going to come to a point where we got to give an account. So what I'm saying is, listen, if we're not focused on Him, then He's going to know we're not focused on Him. And so when you die and you got to stand before the Lord, what you going to say? You done waste 30 years of your life and you don't even know nothing about your Lord and Savior besides what his name is. We ought to want to be mature Christians. And that's the only way we can be mature Christians. We have to study God's word. We have to meditate on his word so that we can grow in grace together. That's the only way you're going to know what the word of God says. So when you look at that, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And it says that in verse 3, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, that's one of the things that really strike our attention is prosperity. It says in verse 3 right here, it says that for all of us who take their delight in living by God's word, there is prosperity. Now, prosperity, when you look at this right here now, prosperity is not a guarantee of the future financial worth of the righteous. So we need to get that in our spirit. Anybody who teaches prosperity messages and they try to tell you that you should live rich and you're going to get all the stuff like this, they just preaching a lie. Prosperity is not a guarantee of the future financial worth of the righteous. Rather, the righteous person is always useful and productive to the Lord. Under the image of the fruitful tree, the psalmist declared that whatever the righteous do will prosper. He made an analogy right here, because what he wants us to understand is, all right, he's saying that we're talking about the way of the righteous. We're talking about the man that's blessed by the Lord. And sometimes we get it mixed up, because when we say blessed, we think that we ought to have great material possessions. We ought to have a big house on the hill. We ought to have a big Cadillac or whatever kind of fine car, automobile we want. We ought to have a bank account full of money. God never promised us none of that. And in fact, Jesus didn't have none of that. Jesus did more in ministry while he was on this earth than we ever did, and he didn't have none of that. Folks want to live a prosperity messages, but you got to understand that God's not talking about that. What he's saying here about being a blessed individual is, he says that under this image of a fruitful tree, the psalmist declares that whatever the righteous will do will prosper. There's two qualifications we need to note for ourselves. The first one is, the fruit that is, the prosperity, is produced in its season, and not necessarily immediately after planting. God said there is a season for us. Listen, when you look at this right here, this is the problem with our children today. I look at certain things, and I'm like, you know, things are totally different than it was when I was going to school. Our kids right now, they want to graduate from high school in 2 years. They don't want to stay the whole 4 years now. They want to graduate from college in 2 years. They want to start taking college classes in high school. And when they get out of college, they want to get a big-time job because they want to make what mom and daddy make, or the next-door neighbor make, or somebody else. You got to understand, the Lord says right here, the fruit of this prosperity is produced in this season. In other words, everybody got a season. See, our season for prosperity, when God blesses us, is when it's in his due time. You never seen a fruit tree that bear all year long. There is a season for everything. We got folks get out of school, want to live fast lives. They want to sell drugs. They want to do everything up under the sun. They want to make all this fast money. But God said that if you are a child of God, there is a season for you. You can't make for somebody to make them be on their job for 30 years. You can't have the same benefits somebody got to be on their job for 30 years. You got to understand there is a season for everything. Young folks get discouraged and they start walking away from God because they think the blessings come overnight. Blessings don't come overnight. When you look at this right here, it says that the fruit of this prosperity is produced in this season. So we got to understand there is a season for everything. We need to stop running after money, running after material things, and we just spend our time committed to the Lord. When we spend our time committed to Him, we will start seeing some things in our life and how God can abundantly bless us. Let me tell you something. People don't understand what blessings really are. If you want to be blessed, stop by the nursing home. If you want to be blessed, stop by the funeral home. We got folks right now that can't even get around. But they just thank God just to be here. If you think that that's not being blessed, let me tell you something. Get down and out and can't walk. Get down and out and you don't even know the bathroom from the kitchen. Let me tell you something. We got blessings upon blessings that we don't even know about. Everything ain't got nothing to do with prosperity and money. God blesses us in different ways. God blesses us with longevity. We got young folk not dying early. We got folk dying. We never thought we were going to die like they do right now. I hear about more young folk dying in a little bit. It's sad. It's truly sad. But when God bless you, He bless you with longevity. That's a blessing from the Lord. We got to understand that the fruit is produced in its season. And so we got to stop worrying about when my time is coming and let the Lord worry about that. See, when we start worrying about the blessing and we start worrying about when my season is coming, that's why we start taking this advice from these ungodly folks. Man, how you get that nice car over there? Well, let me tell you what I'm doing. You know, you can get to a corner, you can slang too, just like I'm doing. Now, let me tell you what I'm doing. You know, I've been robbing banks all my life. Well, I've been doing this. You got to understand, you cannot take ungodly advice and think that you're going to be blessed because that's not your season. We got to understand, we give our life to Christ. Some of us have been living for the Lord for years, and we got to understand that our season is according to His will. And so the blessings is not always material things. It's not always a financial gain, but sometimes the blessing is just to know who you are. You know, it's sad. You know, I see it all the time. I had my grandma, she died, she had dementia. And she had got to a point in her life when, you know, you can walk in a room and they don't even know who you are. And when you see stuff like that, you'd be like, man, it's just a blessing just to have a sound mind. It's just a blessing just to know who you are. It's a blessing to know who your children are. It's a blessing to know who your wife is. I mean, folks can walk in, you ain't know who they are. And you don't think that it's a blessing. That's a blessing from the Lord. So, God said that your fruit come in its season when He wanted to come. And so, secondly, what a godly person does will be controlled by the Word of God. So if we meditate on God's word, our actions will be godly, and His God-controlled activities will prosper. That is, come to their divine direct fulfillment. Let me tell you something. When you look at this right here, you know, I was looking at this, and I said, you know, you never seen a tree that's in good soil planted by a river wither. You never see it die out. You never see it get to a point where it's just not going to bear good fruit. God is saying that, listen, I have the ability to bring you to your divine fulfillment. Our life should depict what God wants us to go in life. We all have a purpose. Our purpose is different. My purpose ain't like yours. My purpose is different. And so what God is, God has a design of fulfillment for our life. And so what he's saying right here is a godly person that's controlled by the word of God, God can bring you to your design, his fulfillment that he wants for your individual life. Let me tell you something. The biggest thing that we ought to want to do is when we stand before the Lord, we ought to want to say that we fulfilled the assignment that God gave us for our life. Our desire is to have things. We have to work to support ourselves. We have to work to support our families. But it's a shame to stand before the Lord and you have not fulfilled the purpose that God has given you in your life. And the only way you're going to know what the purpose is, you got to get in and study the Word of God. And you got to meditate. I'm sorry. You can't rub no crystal balls and find out what your purpose is. I'm sorry. You can't get in line with the pastor if he lay hands on you and tell you what your purpose is. I'm sorry. You can't do it. You have to study the Word of God, and you have to meditate so that you will know what your purpose is for your life. And that's what God's desire is, so that he can bring us to our design, divine, direct fulfillment for our life. And that's why the writer was saying, blessed is the man. This is the way of the righteous. This is the way that God wants us to go. This text is saying we who are not characterized by this evil influence is blessed. That is, he is right with God and enjoys the spiritual peace and joy that results from that relationship with the Lord. That's the biggest thing that we have to understand. We have to have a relationship with him in order for to live blessed lives. So when we look at the word blessed, let's stop looking at it in a way of financial gain, material gain. Let's look at it in a spiritual light where God wants to bring us to our design, fulfillment, purpose for our life. And that's what we got to say. So when we look at the way of the righteous, we cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We cannot stand in the way of the sinner. We can't hang out with these ungodly folks. And we cannot sit in the seat of the scornful. We can't make fun of the things of God. Because all this is very important for us if we're going to be righteous people for the Lord. May God bless y'all and may God keep y'all. The way of the righteous. Like I said, I thank God for the opportunity continue to pray for our pastor and his family, you know, as he traveled. Continue to pray for our youth department, you know, because the director, she's out as well, but continue to pray for them. You know, our children, our department is growing. You know, thank God for Jesus. It's growing. We thank God for you. So if nothing else claimed my attention, do we have any prayer requests tonight? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. The church. All right. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Okay. Yes, ma'am. All right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Also, you all keep my family lifted up in prayer. We have things that are always going on around us, and I just ask you to pray for me.
Yes, amen.
Everybody bow your heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, first of all, we want to ask you, Lord, forgive us of all our many sins and
yes.
cleanse us of all unrighteousness before we say a word.
Yes.
You've been too good to us to not, first of all, reverence you in the proper way.
Yes.
We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to stay with us throughout our traveling.
Yes.
We pray for your traveling grace. We thank you for allowing us to come in again into your house of prayer.
Yes.
To get a great word from you. Thank you for this teacher that came and prepared a lesson for us. He taught a great lesson, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for that. And we take in all that we can take in, dear Heavenly Father, and put it on ourselves, dear Heavenly Father. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, tonight that you might bless our pastor, that you might keep him while he's out on these roads and highways, however you travel, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that you might keep him safe and bring him back to us safely. We pray that you might keep him while he's there and keep his mind and help him, dear Heavenly Father, to finish the task that you set before him. We pray for his family. We lift him up to you. We lift him up, his wife and his children. We pray for his mother and all those around him. We pray that you might bless them in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
We pray for our elders of this church. We pray for each and every one of those that held up a light for us.
Yeah.
A light that you set and you set the standard for, dear Heavenly Father. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for our pastor emeritus, dear Heavenly Father, that you might keep him. We pray for him and his family. Bless them in Jesus' name. We pray for all the leaders and the associate ministers, deacons, trustees, the folk that pick up the paper on the floor. We pray for each and every person in this place.
Yes.
We pray that you might bless them. We pray for each and every name that was called out, dear Heavenly Father, whatever their various issue and whatever thing that was going on in their life.
Yes.
We pray for healing for them. We pray for safety for them. We pray for a right mind.
Thank you, Lord. We pray
for financial blessing. We pray for all those things that we might need to order in order to accomplish your work that you set before us, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for each and every person that came and made it out the Bible study, dear Heavenly Father. We don't know what their needs are. We don't know what their health is like. We don't know what their temperament. We don't know what's going on. But we know you in control of everything. And you just can't fail whatever you do. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you might touch them and keep them in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
We pray for our safety going home, dear Heavenly Father. Bless us on these dangerous streets and avenues. Those are out there, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for some lost soul today, dear Heavenly Father. We also pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you might save somebody, even if it's on our way home, dear Heavenly Father. Whatever opportunity you give for us to witness, let us witness and let us do it with excellence.
Yeah.
We pray for everything that you've done for us today, Heavenly Father. And everything said and done, you get the glory, the honor, and the praise. Father, we pray for our children.
Yeah.
We pray that you might keep them and bless their little minds. Ground them and root them in Jesus' name. Those that are not saved, we pray that you might save them. Those that are lost, we pray that you might reclaim them in Jesus' name. And everything said and done, you get the glory, the honor, and the praise. It's in Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Let us all say, amen.